This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Then you can all leave. And then you can, 5-6 minutes, and then people can get out of here. The post or end of Ramadan sharing point that I wanted to make with you, and I actually had planned this out a little bit different at the beginning of Ramadan, where it was the intention was for this to be the finale of the Asma'ullah al-Husna, but I removed one of the names I was going to talk about and decided to push this at the end, just as something to for you all to reflect upon. There's a question I want to pose for you for the next maybe 5-6 minutes, inshallah. It's a short khatibah, inshallah. It's not going to be that very long, not that long. What is the point of a full masajid if Muslims elsewhere are starving? This is a question for you to ask yourself. What's the point of masajid that are absolutely packed, but people elsewhere are starving to death? Right? And masajid, when you talk about masajid being packed, I'm not even talking about masajid here and no. There are masajid elsewhere, other parts of the Muslim world, where thousands and thousands of people pray. Like you're literally 6,000-7,000 people fit in a masjid and they're just full from Isha till Witr all throughout the month. You find it all across the Muslim world. And people in the millions and the tens of millions, sometimes maybe hundreds of millions of Muslims throughout this month, on a nightly basis, were praying Taraweeh. What's the point of all that if there are Muslims who are starving elsewhere? Who are starving literally maybe just 100 kilometers from where those masajid are situated. Maybe just a couple of hundred kilometers, meaning you can drive in a couple of 4 or 5 hours, you can get there. For us, it's a little bit longer, farther away, but still, it's a plane trip, less than 24 hours, you can be right there. So it's not like we're talking about people living on some other planet somewhere. Where it's like decades away to get to them. No, it's less than a day in modern transportation. So what's the point? Is there a point of this? Is there a point of masajid being full and people are oppressed and people are starving and not doing well? This is there is a point obviously, but this is what I'm asking you. Like what is the how does this if masajid that are full don't translate into action that is meaningful for this ummah, then I'm not sure exactly how much of it is, how do you know that Ramadan is accepted, right? How do you know? The way that you know Ramadan is accepted is what you do after Ramadan. That's how you find out if Ramadan actually was accepted for you, is how you end up behaving after Ramadan. Like what you do with your life when it's over, right? Masajid were always starting points. They were starting points. They were centralized areas of enlightenment where people would come and they would learn and they would connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they could take all of that nur and they can go and they can use it for khayr outside of the masjid. That's what the Prophet alayhi sallam built the masjid first when he first got into Medina. He built this small place. It wasn't a fancy masjid. It was very, very simple. You wouldn't even know it was a masjid because it didn't really have a high minaret or anything. It almost had no wall. Had no walls. But the majority of the time, it had no walls. Half of it was only roof. The other half didn't have a roof on it. Very simple. But it was a place where people came, and that's where they got their daily or weekly or whatever or annual dose of iman. And they used that to build their nation. Like they had other things that they were going to do with their time, with their lives. They knew what they were going to focus on. Like they understood why they were alive and how they were going to take what they were learning and use it and channel it and channel this energy in a direction that's going to be beneficial for the human race and beneficial for themselves and for the ummah that they're a part of. This was second nature to them. They didn't have to listen to something like what I'm sharing with you today. But we have a problem in our ummah today. Where we can film masajid, no problem. You can build a place, you can start a Jummah, and you can take the pictures, you can share it with the social media of how many people are praying. What's the point? I think the more the numbers actually, the more scared I get. Because it's sounding more and more similar to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's ghutha usayl. It's foam of the sea or foam of a river. It's a lot, but it's not worth anything. There's no weight to it. I fear for myself and I fear for us for this as being the case. And I'm not saying that we don't want to fill our masajid. No, for sure that's what we want to do. But then what? There has to be a then what? That question has to be, you have to ask yourself that. Like you have to know what's next. What's next? Starting tomorrow, what is next? Yes, of course, we go for our Eid and we enjoy our families and we give sadaqah. But then what? Khalas, we wait until next Ramadan. Are you serious? That's how this is going to work? If that's the case, then we have to close these places down. Like, these places aren't worth being open if that's all, if they're not doing their job, if they're not launching pads. If they're not launching paths for the Muslim Ummah to come in, to learn, to connect, to repent, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to network, and then to leave this place afterwards and start doing something and build their nation again. That requires a lifetime of dedication. It requires grit, it requires resilience, it requires perseverance, it requires striving. It takes a lot for you. This Ummah was not built on, it was built on sweat and tears and blood. For years and years and years for it to become what it became, and then when it fell, it's going to require the same amount. Al-Hadam is easier, actually. To destroy something takes no time. To rebuild takes a long time. Now, this Ummah's been tearing it down for a long time, for centuries. It's going to take a long time to rebuild. It's going to take a lot of people who are fully dedicated, who have that within their hearts, who understand why they're alive, understand what the purpose of life is. مَقَامُكَ Imam Ibn Atal, مَقَامُكَ حَيْثُ أَقَامَكَ مَقَامُكَ حَيْثُ أَقَامَكَ. Where did he put you? Where did he put you on earth? Don't ask too many, don't complicate life. Where are you? Look around, where are you? In this world, where are you? What spot are you in? That's where you are. That's where he wants you to be. That's where you're going to work. That's your focus. That's what you're going to work on. Don't think about... Don't waste time asking questions that you have no answers for. That you can't even begin to answer these questions. Just focus on what you have right now. Where are you on earth? Where did he situate you? Who are the people around you? What community are you a part of? Work. Yahi, carry your share of the burden. Carry your share of the hum of this ummah. If you don't carry the burden of this ummah, you're a burden on the ummah. Like, if you're not carrying it on your shoulders, it is carrying you. And we have enough dead weight as it is. We have enough dead weight as it is. Don't be another... Don't. Carry it on your... Take this responsibility on your shoulders. And after let Ramadan be that moment where you decide to change things. It's a turning point for yourself. That's what Ramadan is designed to be. It's a prolonged one because it takes time for us to make decisions. It's not a moment. It's not a night. No. It's a month. It's a month that gives you time to reflect and repent, and comprehend and contemplate and take, so that you make that decision, and then Ramadan is that launching pad, it's that turning point. And after Ramadan, you turn to someone who understands what their purpose is. You focus on your role. What's your role? How are you serving the ummah? Your piece of the puzzle, where does it fit? It's a huge mosaic. This ummah is so many, we're so diverse, there's so much going on. I'm just a small piece of this puzzle. I'm not even visible. But I'm a piece, just like you are. It's a small one. It's hard. You can't see it when you zoom out too well. But if a couple of hundred of us do it, then we fill in a little spot. It's worth something. If another 100 people do that, then they'll fill in another spot. And then suddenly we have a picture. We have something. We have substance. Figure out what your piece of the puzzle is, right? And put it in its spot. And if everyone else around you is singing and dancing and running around and doing what they want, it doesn't matter. Just put your head down, focus on what you're doing, and fulfill that piece of the puzzle that you figured out for yourself, whatever that may be. Whatever that is, no one can dictate for you how you're going to serve this ummah, how you're going to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. That's for you to figure out. That's for you to figure out. You're going to figure that out somehow. You'll try something, it won't work. You'll try something else until you find, this is what I'm good at, I'm going to do this. This is what I find fulfillment in that. And then you'll do that till the day you meet God. But if you don't try, you don't care, you'll never figure this out. This is what Ramadan is designed for. I beg you to rethink how you see this month and how you see why Allah and how you understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted it to you and gifted it to you, so that you can take this into your heart and you can go ahead and you can live life with a different focus, where your qibla is actually your qibla. You know what your direction is, you know why you're here, and you figure out that piece, and you figure out what your focus is going to be. Last year, I shared with you the five disciplines, or five fields that I think Muslims in the West should focus on. This is what I think they should focus on. I could be wrong, but this is what I thought about it for a long time, for maybe 9 years. Then I shared it, then I watched it for another year, and I still think that these are the five categories. I think we still, as Muslims in the West, there are certain things we can do. we have the privilege to do certain things that others can't do, right? First of all, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to have education. We have to have mentorship. These are two. This is to preserve our own community. This is to preserve ourselves. If you have no ilm, if you don't have knowledge, then you'll worship Allah ignorantly and then you'll make mistakes and it won't work out. Without mentorship, I can't make sure that the next generation of human beings, Muslims, will actually know their deen appropriately and have the same identity. Without those two things, we don't have a community. Meaning we'll exist for another maybe 40 years, and then it'll all go just, you know, basically to be dismantled, won't exist anymore, disappear. So we have to have those two things. Those are two. And then there's the aspect of da'wah, which is what we are here to do. There's da'wah towards people who are similar to us, Muslims who just are lost, or people who aren't Muslim at all who want to find Islam, which is outreach. And we are obligated in both situations to actually spend a lot of time investing resources into that. Resources into our own. Are you telling me that you sit here and all of your family, everyone, all your family members are, mashallah, multazimeen, you're the least, you don't have any friends or people that you know that don't come to masajid at all and have nothing to do with this deen altogether. Do they not deserve any amount of our thought, any amount of our worry, any amount of our planning? They don't deserve anything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this beautiful blessing of guidance, we have no interest in trying to see how we can help those who don't have that blessing. We don't worry about other people. We don't care. You're okay with people that you love and know going in the wrong direction and ending up in Jahannam. That doesn't matter to you. Outreach that's what outreach is. And then if you have enough compassion in your heart, then you start worrying about people who aren't Muslim altogether. And why can't they be helped? And why aren't we helping them? The financial piece of this community. This community can only go as far as it's good at managing money. If we don't manage our wealth appropriately as a community, if we don't harness that energy and make sure that wealth is being used to service the people here and to help those who have no, then what are we doing? There's a lot of wealth in this ummah. Look around you. Look at the demographic that's sitting in this masjid. The majority are people who are young. That means this community has wealth in it. That's where wealth comes from. Wealth is within the you're working. If you're not working, you're about to. If you're not working, it's a few years and you'll be working. You're part of the workforce. You'll be making money. So there is money in this community. We have to centralize it. We have to make sure that we use it appropriately. We don't drain the community's wealth by starting masharia we don't need. And we have to start pointing out what's needed so that wealth is used appropriately so they can actually build something. Wallahi, we have to reassess all of this. And then we have to do advocacy. Advocacy was the last thing I talked about a year ago, because I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this stretch of 6 months actually being the case. It just didn't, subhanAllah, it wasn't on the horizon for any of us. When I talked about this, I didn't think that we'd be talking next Ramadan and sharing a 6 month, ongoing, just brutal genocide occurring in the Holy Land of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his children. And for that to be the case today, and these people not only are they sleeping under fire and lead, but they're also starving. They're starving because we are weak, because we are disorganized, because we are not centralized, because we have no leadership, because we don't know how to work with one another and we don't know what we're here to do on earth. That's why this is happening. That's why if we were different, that would be different. This is a fact. It's not even an opinion. This is a fact. If we were different, then this would not happen to people. This wouldn't be occurring. Not just to them, but to anyone. Because we would advocate. We would have the weight. We would have the pull. We would have the push to actually stop these types of behaviors. And that comes from communities that have wealth and that have organization and have knowledge and have people who are willing to advocate politically, advocate academically. You can stop stuff like this. You can stop it. But when in a community doesn't, when a community is just a population of people who are just living in their little silos, they come to masajid. Yeah, they come. Oh, masjid's full at Fajr. Yes. So what? And then what? I don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us these rituals when we're not focusing on our peace. I don't. This is me just sounding an alarm for you. I don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us these rituals if we are not people who stand for haqq, if we are not standing against dhulm, if we're not organized and united. I don't know. Ya Rabbi, inshallah he does. But I don't know. Because that central piece of our existence, we're removing it and we're expecting him somehow to just overlook it. And give us just for the rituals and the basic stuff, that, but not when our basic role is not being, like our central role is not being picked up.
The Sahaba thought that this was going to be an option for them with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They built the masjid, they were happy. They didn't want to go to Badr. Why? We're happy. No, no, no. The struggle is outside of Medina. That was the whole point of that battle. That's why it was in Ramadan. The struggle is outside here. They were happy. They were having a great time. I can't imagine. Can you imagine how beautiful the first Ramadan with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam must have been? You understand how gorgeous that was? Like how, okay, think about it. You're with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, the first Ramadan ever. How, yani, nur ala nur, right? Nurun ala nur. It's just the beauty of it, the profoundness, the closeness. But no, we're gonna go and fight. Yeah? We're gonna go and we're gonna claim haqq, and we're gonna stand up against dhulm, and we're gonna stand against the most revered army within the land. Why? Because the struggle is outside. The struggle is not just the minjah, it has to be taken outside. You can't just recline. We're happy, we're quiet, we're reciting the Quran, we're close to Allah, and everything is nice. Yeah, do that as fuel so that you can go outside and you can stand for what is right. And if you don't do it as fuel to stand for righteousness, then it's meaningless. Then it's meaningless. I'm sorry, but this is the reality of the matter. This is the launching pad. This is where it all starts. This is the starting point. This is where you begin. And then you walk out of that door, and that's where you continue it. And you have to do it in collaboration. You have to do it as a part of a community. You're a part of something. You don't exist on your own. You're a part of a group. You may not like the group. That's fine. You may not enjoy their company. You may have problems with them. Doesn't matter. They're still your group, and you still have to work with them. And if you don't want this to happen again, I say the word again as if it stopped, right? It's so pathetic. I say again as if it stopped. It didn't stop. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. Think of that. Allah alam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. Maybe the worst is yet to come. The worst could be yet to come, right? This serves as a wake-up call for us to remind ourselves of what our purpose and what our obligations are, what we're here to do. So take some time and think about that. I put up a QR code. This is simple. You just have the five categories. Choose one or two, something that you're interested in. Now, maybe choose something else. If you don't like the five and you think they're wrong, well, point out what it is you want to do. Let's see if we can organize. Let's see if we can compile any groups of people who care about a certain topic. Let's see if we can put together some efforts. Those who are interested in education or mentorship or advocacy, let's see if we can organize some efforts and get people who will ongoingly work on these fields within our community and help build the future, invest in people and invest in the work itself and what it requires. Whether if you're good at money, maybe you focus on that. If you're good at advocacy and you're articulate and you like, do that. If you're an educator, if you're someone who knows how to mentor, if you're someone, whatever, you have to have something to offer. What is it that you want to offer? Let's see if we can organize that a little bit. Let's see if we can put a little bit of, Wallahi udhur lana amam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bas ma'dhiratan ila rabbikum. Just a way to say, we tried, we were dealt a hand that it wasn't great, and this is the best we could do. It wasn't great. Bida'atun muzjah. We came with bida'ah, it's not that great. But hopefully you'll accept it. Maybe if we try hard, we can make something of it. I know that we can do a lot. I know the potential of this ummah has always been there. It's huge. It's a question is whether people are willing to fulfill it or not, and people are willing to take on themselves a life-changing decision of commitments and resilience and striving to the end, whatever that end may be, whenever that end may come, that you just stick yourself, you put yourself on this path and you just walk for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get tired, you come here. When you get tired, you come here. When you feel beaten, you come here. When you feel down, you come here. When you feel defeated, you come here. When you feel sad, you come here. When you feel sorrow, you come here. When you feel like you're empty, you come here. This is what this place is for. It's to fill that emptiness, to allow you to grant you that strength again, so you can go back and you can face the world again. And then you're defeated again, you come back here again. That's what this place is for. This is not where it ends. This is where it begins. That's what I want to share with you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us what we offered in Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the blessing of Ramadan, the forgiveness, the hasanat, and the freedom of punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this ummah to see Ramadan year after year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us next Ramadan when we are in a state of strength and prevalence. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessing of the day of Eid. Jazakum Allahu khairan, barakallahu feekum. وكل عام أنتم والمسلمون جميعا بألف خير وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى